Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hello and welcome to Come Along Pond, a Doctor Who discussion podcast with your two best friends.
Dabbler.
And Elliot. There you are.
Hello.
There you are.
How are you doing?
I am doing just... I'm grand. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing good because... I can see you.
I can see
you. Wait, hang on.
You.
I can always see you.
No, but literally, you and you can see us if...
I can see that.
If you're subscribed to the Patreon. Oh, what? Visuals?
Yeah.
Huh?
Wow. What? The one person on that tier can see this. Hello, I should know your name. I don't. hope you're doing okay. Yeah, no, look, updates to the Patreon definitely coming soon with a proper announcement when I can work it out. But for now, if you're listening to this and you think, God, I want to see faces, go subscribe to our Patreon. It's on our top tier. You can see our faces, which means as well, if you subscribe to the tier below it, you get all of these content ad-free as well. So
it's all happening over there, guys.
Enjoy that. Enjoy this.
Yeah, you can see us in our full glory. We've had requests being like, are you going to do a visual medium? Are you going to put it on YouTube? Listen, huns, we've got to make bang somehow. And if you want to see our faces, top tier on Patreon, get over there, all the good things, maybe more to come in the future. Who knows? Maybe more to come if we get enough support. Come
Who
over.
Knows?
Come along, Pond.
But for now, you can see how... uncomfortable I am with being visually seen.
Present.
And you Present. Will just watch me readjust my earbuds. Just combined both brands there.
You can see me drinking my Diet Coke.
Good. Nice. Oh, got a Monster Energy on the go.
Yes. Yes.
And then when this is finished, a Lucozade.
Which you bought from Boots, who keep us. Lathered up. Except we didn't buy it from Boots because that's expensive. Anyway!
I didn't buy it from Boots, but I am sick, so go to Boots for all your sick requirements.
Yes, paracetamol, Advil, except we don't have that in the UK because we're not in the US.
No, well, that is.
But yeah, you're good. Yeah, you're good?
Yeah. So I'm coming off a lovely, fun run of illness to have panickedly watched Wild Blue Yonder this evening after work.
Vibes. Yeah.
What was that? I had like 4 days in bed where I wasn't doing anything because I was really sick. Could have watched it then. Nah, watch it after work in a panic, I reckon.
We love panic here. We love being chaotic. And we also love Three Males, don't we? We love them. We love them!
So we do have three. Randomly selected. I've not even proofread them. So they could all be like crazy ransom notes. Let's find out together. First email goes as follows. Dear Damla and or Elliot. So I'm not quite sure what they mean by that. I don't know if it means Dear Damla and Elliot or Elliot and Damla or just me on my own. I don't really understand, but we'll go with it. My name is John. Thank you so much for making this podcast. Hello, John. I found it because of listening to a similar podcast about the X-Files called Scully Watch. That is a great
That's a good name.
A podcast. Yeah. Which also helped me with my sleep. You two have also helped me get back on the Doctor Who train since I fell off mid-series 11. Yeah, sorry. I get confused. I get confused between like 11th Doctor and series 11 when people say 11.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, fair enough. I never really looked at Tennant or Eccleston and skipped to Smith straight away. That is a choice. But after listening to these podcasts... Sorry, I didn't mean to...
No, I was going to say that's homophobic, but yeah, that's just stating the obvious.
But after listening to these podcasts, I've started to look at them way more, especially season two because of the relationship between Ted and Rose. We've got one. We've converted one.
She's the one.
I've got one question, though, and this might be more for me, but I'm happy to open it up to the floor. I'm just not 100% sure. I don't want to assume your knowledge of classic Doctor Who and everything that happens.
Give it a go.
But what do you think about Adric? Hope you two are doing well and the podcast continues. P.S. I've got some 50th anniversary alien attacks of Doctor Who that I don't know what to do with. Help. Well, if I knew what any of those words meant, John, I certainly could. Alas, I don't. Do you know what alien attacks are?
Yeah, I think they're cards. I think they're like collectible cards. They're like Battles in Time, but not as good. Sorry.
Oh. Well, sounds like Downer won't take them off your hands. Sorry, John. So, I don't know. Charity shop, maybe?
No, actually go on Vinted and sell those. Someone will buy them off you, or eBay. Like, just
people sell any old shit on Vinted.
It's true, and we've seen it.
Someone thinks their 13th Doctor's TARDIS that is in a box that is basically looked like it's been ripped open by a very aggressive mouse is worth £100. It's not. It would be worth maybe £100 mint in box. It's not worth £100 when it looks like you've thrown it against a wall. Anyway, what do you think about Adric?
All I know is that he's dead. And
spoilers, everybody.
Spoilers! That Adric is dead and that the last shot of him is him like this. And if you are watching us now, you can see me do the pose. That's all I know. Sorry, back to you.
Did you get your crash course?
Crash course. Fenn's Law. Anyway.
Did you get your main bulk of information on Adric from Twin Dilemma?
Yes.
Because we talked for a while about Adric. So where are we going to start episode of Twin Dilemma? Probably not in the final cut. I really can't remember. I like Adric. Think he's overhated. I don't think he's any cringier than most other sort of companions and side bits from sort of the 80s. And I actually sort of, you know, don't really know much about Matthew Waterhouse as a man or as a person now, but seems quite weird that they all still incessantly bully him even to this day.
Yeah, a bit weird. You know, stop
they're all grown people. Bit weird. Makes watching behind the sofa with him quite uncomfortable because everyone is just really nasty to him. But if he's done something that thinks he deserves it, then fair enough. But, you know, I've not done the research. Our next email goes as follows. Hey, besties. That's what I like to hear. Nice and neutral. Oh, my God. God, I'm so excited for the 60th anniversary. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. See, it's thematic because it's the 60th. I was kind of doing Find and Replace. Anyway, I just listened to your Hype Up episode and the new music. I can't. Chills. Actual chills. So many chills. 13, that is in quote marks. Sounds like a mashup of all the new Who Doctors, e.g. Symphony for 13. I think they mean 15, sorry.
They mean 15.
Symphony for 13, Guitar for 12, Goofy for 11. I know, but they played other things. Anyway, Fast for 10, Classic Undertones of 9. Not the biggest fan of the new theme just because I love the original sound. Well, you know, funnily enough, I dislike the theme, but I didn't like the opening titles that they went with when we watched The Star Beast. And now, every time I watch it, it gives me chills just because the music's always so good. So actually, I've really come around on the opening titles. Love them.
Yeah. We forgot to talk about that last week. So good thing that you brought it up because I agree with you. I'm the same. Yeah.
Yeah, I've totally come around on them. And as well, there's a detail where we get to Church on Ruby Road in the opening credits that makes my heart sing every time we do it. But, you know, save that. question. Two questions.
Oh.
Question. If you could write an ep, what would happen? And what antagonist would there be? So, you know, marinate that. The second question, what kind of companion would you like to be? E.g. humanising like Donna, embracing the adventurous like Clara, curious like Rose. I give you air from my lungs, then I've tried to sort of type out the visual medium of go, which honestly is good.
Yeah.
Not visual, I meant aural.
Yeah.
You know, but very, very good effort. Grey. 7/10. XX.
Thank you so much for that email. if I could write an episode of the show, what would happen? Let's keep it simple, shall we? It would be me and the 11th Doctor.
I don't want to know where that's going.
How do I keep this PG-13? Me and the 11th Doctor.
That's disgusting.
In Journey to the Centre of the TARDIS. I, in fact, it's just that episode, but instead of Clara, it's me. And it's a bit less PG-12, more PG-15. Let's go 15. Let's not go too crazy.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's kind of what kind of companion would you be as well? You'd be
Clara for sure. I'm sorry. Like of all the personalities, like I'm really a Martha, to be honest. More Martha at the end of series 3, but I want to be a Clara. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
What about you, babe?
I think I've said before, but you know, my dream story, if someone said here, you know, make Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And I had all of the past and everything to play with. It's Ninth Doctor, it's Rose, it's a pure historical, so no aliens, and it's set at the siege of Toulon.
Yes.
As Napoleon is gaining sort of his first bit of notoriety in the French Grand Army.
Fun. I love how I put myself in the episode. I took that as like, I'm going to be in it.
Alternatively, I could write for the First Doctor for years.
Yeah. I get you.
Speaking of which, I feel like my companion type would be, I'd want to be lovely Ian.
Yeah.
Just like, again, wandering around places, kind of asking questions, but still in like a 60s drainpipe suit, because, you know, it's the 60s, you got to wear a suit. But when I'm chilling in the TARDIS listening to my Beatles records, I've got my sort of dad sweater on, but still a tie, so everybody knows that I'm cool.
I like that. I like that very much. I think that's a good answer.
Yeah, and also secretly in love with Jacqueline Hill. Anyway, thank you, Grey.
Oh dear.
Funny. And our final email, it goes as follows. Hello, I stumbled onto the podcast a couple of days ago and I've already binged through to New Earth. I emailed in, just got your first email in that episode, so I thought I should do, as it would give me something to look forward to. I have no idea how popular the pod has got in the years following. Not very. so maybe this will ever be read out. You're lucky.
We've done all right.
We're reading it
Come
now.
On. We've done okay.
Anyway. It's just... Anyway, now to the actual point. I love the pod. I love the pod so much. It's so lovely to hear people have similar views on Doctor Who to myself. Mainly how the pod is so good-natured and there are no toxic moments, mansplaining, or the rest of the negative stuff you find in the fandom. Well, you know, that was always our goal. And as well, you struggle to do mansplaining when there are no men involved.
Literally.
But not say it still doesn't happen. And I do worry sometimes as well that my sort of belligerent tone and purposeful kind of, you know, annoyance is taken as some kind of toxic misogyny. It's not. I'm just a dick. And it makes me laugh.
Quote, tepid fan wank. End quote. Incredible.
Didn't say I couldn't be opinionated. Keep up the great work, guys. Jake JD. That is a great condensing of your last name. Jake
that
JD.
Is great.
JJD.
Jake, fantastic. You are an icon. Thank you for the support. Thank you for binging the show, giving us those ratings. Ah, love. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I guess snog Ricky.
You are? Oh, Jake. Oh.
Come on. Fake fan.
Yes! Oh, someone write a fan fiction about those two expeditiously, please.
Well, that was all of the emails. Now, sadly, you could see via the medium of visuals that there's no actual evil cis person who takes over to read, and I don't have to pretend to come out of a box anymore. So I'm sorry. If you're still listening to this, though, just imagine I did a really funny bit in your head. But yeah, no, I think we should just get into the episode. Don't know what that. You okay?
I just felt like pointing at you.
Ah, okay, that's fine. I thought I'd misunderstood the mavity of the situation. Well, in case you couldn't tell, today we are talking about episode 2 of the 60th anniversary specials of Doctor Who, Wild Blue Yonder. It was broadcast on the 2nd of December 2023. It was directed by Tom Kingsley and it was written by who? Russell D. Davies.
And boy, was it!
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Oh.
Look, I really enjoy talking about Wild Blue Yonder, not only because it's good, and it is good, it's bloody good, but also there's been a lot of. Shall we say, responses
yes.
to how we felt about the Star Beast.
Yes.
And I'm here to say, hey, if you didn't like that, we didn't like the Star Beast, first of all, grow up. Second of all, we liked this one, baby.
Yeah. No, look, we've said it. We said we don't mind the Star Beast. I mean, I like the Star Beast.
I was going to say, I feel like, yeah.
Yeah.
All of our comments were misconstrued.
Yeah.
By us editing. Yes. No. It's just, like you say, we don't hate the Star Beast. But some people have been really like, you know, I can't believe how much you hated it. It's like, no, we don't. Even
no,
the TikTok that
it.
We put out about the intro.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people are like, cool, I like the intro. I'm like, yeah, we're talking about how fun
how we like
this
it.
Is.
Yeah.
But it's like, crap, that's a perfectly fine
imagine
opinion.
Listening to what we're saying. Imagine.
People could believe two separate things at once.
Guess what? Nuance is a thing.
Yeah. And the 14th Doctor literally teaches you that in Wild Blue Yonder. Anyway. Hello, everybody.
But I mean, but you know, there's also other things that people have been commenting on, not at us, but about the show, especially about the opening scene. But before we get to it, Elliot.
Yes.
In fact, actually, let me throw the question back at you so you can throw the question back at me, because I can't say things.
Yeah, I know, because you always insist on doing the link, mostly because I forget, but then you panic halfway through.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of people being weird, Damla. I reached out to seek the light at the end of the universe when I discovered there was none. One burning, lingering question on my mind. Not, you know, what is it all for? What's really out there? You know, how am I going to get back home? It was instead, God, you know, I kind of, like, I know what I think Wild Blue Yonder's about. Because of course I do. You know, my not version of me also knows what they think it's about. I know what Google thinks it's about. I know what IMDb thinks it's about. I want to know what you think it's about.
Well, my dear, Wild Blue Yonder, I'll tell you what it's about. This is really specific. It's about how even a Disney budget can't help your visual effects sometimes. That's what it's about. That's the only negativity you're hearing from this episode. That is the only bit of negativity you're going to hear. Just saying.
Even then, is it real negativity? Because, I mean, you know, they're not good, but, like, it's part of the fun.
It's part of the fun. It's part of the fun that what we were having in this. But what do you think the episode's about?
Just don't ever trust twins. Never. Don't trust them.
Twin Dilemma podcast, we're looking at you. Anyway.
Yeah, boo. Really embarrassing and missing about Twin Dilemma podcast. They're called the Twin Dilemma because they're twins. We know them on a sort of relatively friendly level. At least, like Ben and Joe, very, very friendly guys. it was their birthdays recently.
Yes.
And I didn't realise that their birthdays are on the same day.
Brilliant.
Despite them being literal twins. Hosts of the Twin Dilemma podcast.
Yes.
They
just got the biggest free shout out. Love you guys. Anyway.
Yeah, of course. I'm not going to charge them for that. I love.
We already charged for the visuals. Again, patreon.com/comingupon podcast.
Anyway, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I tried to say like Merry Grimace, but it didn't work. So, yes, episode 2 of the 60th specials. Finally. Elliot, I've been waiting for this. I've actually been waiting for this.
The only episode worth reviewing in existence.
Ever.
That's it. The whole thing.
I think what we should do, in my opinion, is we should get the negativity, not from us, because, again, that was the only bit of negativity you're going to hear was about what I just said about what the episode was about. I just want to get this discussion.
Spoilers. I have zero negative things to say about this episode.
Yeah, literally. So let's just get the one bit of the episode that caused a bit of ruckus, as I like to say, a little bit of ruckus online.
A little bit of ruckus.
We need to discuss it because it was ridiculous. It was actually baffling. So at the start of the episode, you've got Sir Isaac Newton, Newtoning, doing his thing. And Donna and the Doctor crash into a tree and they clock that it's him. And then Donna makes a funny joke about Mavity and it's all happening. And it was actually very fun. But unfortunately, the this disgusting cesspit I like to call the Doctor Who fandom, not all of you, obviously, the people who listen to this podcast wouldn't do that. But there was just a lot of actual stupidity emerging within the community. And it's actually baffling. It's like, are you not tired? Are you not actually tired yet? You know?
I just can't imagine caring, you know?
Imagine caring. Imagine caring.
I literally cannot imagine caring. And there is a whole, you know, I could really go into it and, you know, explain why on a sort of technical and structural and social, cultural level, why none of it matters, but that's really, really, really boring, and I haven't got the energy because, like I say, I've been sick and I've been tired, and what I really want to say is that you're boring little people with tiny little lives, and I don't even despise you, I just pity you.
Yeah, it's actually really embarrassing for you. Again, not people listening to this podcast because you're all fucking iconic, but...
Yeah.
It's so funny to me. Do you know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of when Jodie Turner Smith was cast in a miniseries about Anne Boleyn, and she was cast as Anne Boleyn. And everyone got a bit mad because she is a woman of colour playing Anne Boleyn. And it's like, first of all, half of you don't even know anything about the Tudors except the fucking song, and that like two of them got beheaded and Henry VIII was fat. That's literally all you know. Do you know what I'm saying? So, since when were you all history experts? That's my first question. Second of all, get a fucking life. Like, it's just embarrassing. I don't understand. Like, literally, Elliot, I don't know about you. I was on TikTok, right? As I always am. But it was literally when the clips came out from the start of the episode, the comments were a cesspit of just stupidity. It was just like... Oh, you know, I thought we were going to cast, you know, I thought we were going to, you know, cast people correctly and like, oh God, isn't that, you know, racist against white people? And it's like, wow, we're still here. As a society, we're still here. Really? Really?
I mean, you know, there's no, you know, look, white people have been playing people of colour for years and not even in like a purposeful racist way, but just in like a our woeful meaningfully ignorant misinterpretation of history casts sort of straight white people as the people who did the thing all of the time. And, you know, I think that if you're making maybe a historical biopic, then it maybe, you know, matters because you're telling a story of somebody's life. This is for a joke at the beginning of a Doctor Who episode. And secondly, or thirdly, I think it's my third point, and it's what I said to the person who I was watching with at the time, they're doing the thing that you all claim you want people to do, which is, well, they pick the best person for the role.
Yep.
When people complain about, you know, another white person being cast or something, people always go, well, they just picked the best actors for the role.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not a problem with a lack of diversity. They just cast the best people for the role. Those people were always straight white men. Well, this time, it was a man of, I believe, Indian heritage. You know, Shuti Gatwa, like, you know, or I know Shuti was born in you know, a different country. Not that it matters, but the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, Nathaniel Curtis is English. Yeah, he's an English actor. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, and it's the same with Shuti, right? You know, it really, not that it fucking matter anyway.
Yeah.
But, like,
it's just not that deep.
It's really pointless. People are pointless. You're all pointless.
You're taking a role away from a white person, apparently. That's when you're all piping up. But when it's been done the other way around, which is all the time, by the way, all the fucking time, it has happened and always has happened and is still happening, which is just horrific, then it's crickets. It's always crickets, isn't it? But when it affects you, then you want to pipe up. Imagine having some fucking empathy and having a fucking brain anyway. Oh my God, I just can't. Basically, you all hate fun, you're all fucking boring, and I hate all of you. Right, I'm signing off. Again, not this podcast, not the people who listen to this podcast, but yeah. Anyway.
And if you do believe that, then go away.
Yeah, go away. We don't want you here. But
bye.
I mean, the only thing, I guess, the only issue I would have with the opening scene is that they kept making jokes about Mavity, which I didn't really understand, if I'm being completely honest with you, because it's like, okay, Mavity's a thing, whatever. But, like,
yeah,
you know, like, it's a fun scene. Yeah. It's a fun scene. Who cares?
Yeah, no, yeah. Donna makes sure that she gets the joke in about Isaac Newton understanding the Mavity of the situation.
Yeah.
And then he just sort of goes, oh, yeah, Mavity, what a great word. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of a cute joke. Like, you know, he invented Mavity. We know he's the man who invented Mavity.
Yeah.
But I don't really understand why it's lingered on so much. Just because it seems weird.
Just a bit weird, you know.
Yeah.
Great. But cool.
Is what it is.
But, yeah, I'd love to see a story of Isaac Newton with, you know, same actor everything. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, he was fucking great in It's a Sin.
Oh my God, he so was. He so was, yes. I completely forgot he was in It's a Sin, actually.
I mean, I didn't, when I first watched the episode, I didn't recognise him as being the same actor. It wasn't until I saw him tweeting about it on Twitter, I was like, oh, hang on, it's the guy from It's a Sin, so I recognised his name. I was like, oh. He looks hotter in It's a Sin.
Yeah.
That curly hair's doing nothing for him.
Yeah, it's not his best look, but also, if that's not his best look, then damn, there's no hope for any of us, is there? I'd like to just say something. I want to start with a... Well, not even start. We've already started. I want to carry on.
All we've been doing is saying something.
I want to come back in, changing the subject slightly, with a really hot take. And you may not agree with this, Elliot, but I'm going to state the hot take for the listeners at home.
Lay it on me. Fill me up like a Subway sandwich.
The visuals. I think David and Catherine, this is the best their chemistry has ever been. Boom.
Is that because I texted you that?
No, it's because I also agree. And I actually kind of forgot you texted me that.
Oh, fuck you. It's because it's true. But again, I think I'm not as on board with everybody else. I'm like, oh, their energy in the Star Beast, they're back at it. I actually think they're kind of... I understand it's because of character dynamics and things that have to shift, but...
Yeah.
Both of them individually feel kind of awkward in the Star Beast, but this, we're back on top, baby. Like, how I had to pick any of my favourite lines or moments, because it's all great.
It's luscious. Great. It's luscious goodness, and it's literally partners in crime on crack, this episode. Like, genuinely, it's on crack.
Yeah.
And again, also, if you've listened to the pod before, you may know that Last Christmas is one of our favourite Christmas specials, because guess what we love? A Base Under Siege. Guess what we also love? Horror. And guess what this episode is? Both. And guess what we also love? Really cute little robots. We've got it all. We've got everything. This episode has it all. And I'm in love. I love it.
I do find, though, you say about it being horror. Obviously, I agree, right? Mm. Especially, you know, if you're a kid watching this, it's probably terrifying.
Oh my God, yeah, yeah.
But I do find it really weird that, like, in the sort of the response to people who didn't like it, which I don't understand, there were loads of people who were like, then almost overcompensating, going like, yeah, oh no, it's like the midnight of the let's
slow down,
take a pill, get back to reality.
Yeah.
Because I mean, this episode, it's she's not scary.
No.
She's creepy. Yeah. In a couple places.
Yeah.
But it's fun. And I feel like people are just scared. They're scared to be like, you know, well, it was fucking fun. Who cares? Like, you know, again, I think if you're a kid, this is probably terrifying and weird. You know, as an adult, it's just kind of weird and creepy in some places. But generally, it's just camp nonsense. And yeah. Why are we scared to be having camp nonsense? You don't have to be like, oh, actually, I think you'll find it's, you know, one of the more subtle episodes of horror that Doctor Who's done in a little while. Just fucking shut up. It's fun. I had fun. It doesn't
we
need
hate
to be...
people.
No, I just, you know, you don't need to pretend that it's something that it's not, you know? Like, it's fun. Doctor Who can just be fun sometimes.
It's one of those things, right, where... So, I've actually seen a bit of valid criticism towards this episode, and I get where people are coming from. I don't agree with it, but I think it's valid that people feel this way. I do. Look, I'll give in to this. So, the main thing I've heard from people about Well Blue Yonder is that it doesn't feel like a 60th special episode. And I have to agree, it doesn't. It doesn't, because it doesn't have all of kind of like the classic things. But here's what I think, and this is why I think the specials were done this way, especially this episode specifically, is the whole, the special itself, again, let's reiterate, the 50th was the big one. This isn't a big one. Who celebrates 60 years of stuff? No offense, not really.
Even, but what are anniversary specials?
No, but this is it. It's like, so it's, we've had anniversary specials. Mostly, what people are talking about is that there's been no cameos from other Doctors. That's what they're referring to. And I get what you're saying. But what I think this special... No, I know you don't. But I feel, personally, that what Russell was trying to do in these specials, and I think he's achieved, is we're going to celebrate 60 years. It's not as big as the 50 years. It's the 60-year anniversary. So we are going to bring back an iconic Doctor... slash most people's favourite Doctor, fact, and most people's favourite companion, Donna, fact. We're going to bring them back, iconic duo, and we're going to put them in three, you know, good stories. And one of them is just going to be a normal adventure with the Doctor and Donna like we used to have, because we're bringing back that feeling and we're just going to, you know, take it up a notch. Does it have any cameos? Does it have all of the classic anniversary stuff? No, but the point is the specials, the special part about it is that they're back. That's the point. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, the three Doctors, the special aspect is that there's three of them. That's it. The plot is largely irrelevant to the legacy of Doctor Who. It's only really five Doctors and the 50th anniversary where you get, like, there's multiple Doctors and we're, like, doing references to sort of, you know, like, the show's past and, you know, things like that. You know, those are really the only two. Because all the others either don't exist or are different to what you've made up in your head. Like you say, the anniversary aspect is Zayden and Catherine coming back.
Yes.
And all of the little references to Classic Who. Like the Toymaker.
Mel.
Like Mel. Like Beep the Beep and the Wrath Warriors. Like all of the things that Shooty's Doctor rails off in the TARDIS at the end of next episode.
Like, I feel like people are missing the point. Sorry, but I do understand. I do think it's a, you know, you're valid in being a bit disappointed. Because let's be honest, people online like to spread shit. And there was a lot of rumours that in this episode specifically, there was going to be, and again, I'm not, I guess it's kind of your fault for believing it, sorry. But, you know, there was a rumour that Matt Smith was going to be in this episode, like just a cameo, like a really brief little, like, you know. And I do think in a scene, it would have been fun if one of the not things, the one that was impersonating the doctor, kind of just morphed into one of the past doctors as like trying to figure out what's going on. Like, ooh, there's so many different versions. That would have been fun, I guess, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary and it didn't need to happen. And also, Matt Smith is now really expensive. Let's be honest.
I was going to say, well, that's the thing, yeah. You're banking on the fact that like everybody wants to return and do it. And that I just think isn't the case.
It's not the case. Even though Matt said he wants to come back.
Chris Rickerson would literally rather die than ever return to Doctor Who. Matt Smith would probably return, but he's booked and busy and expensive and doing things.
But yeah, I just thought I'd mention
never
that.
Return to Doctor Who unless you pay, even if you paid him vast amounts of money. Jodie Whittaker was just the Doctor.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
We just had
episodes of Peter Davison and Sylvester McCoy.
I just think, again,
John Baker doesn't act anymore.
Yeah.
An episode with Paul McGann and David Bradley as the first Doctor, like two episodes before this. What do you want? Just leaves Colin Baker, poor old Colin, just standing on his own in the middle of a soundstage. Dressed in the 40th Doctor's waistcoat and a pair of Crocs.
What's wrong with that? No, I want that.
Nothing. I'm just saying, like when you actually boil it down, literally we had an anniversary episode in November 2022. It wasn't very fucking good, was it?
We like Power of the Doctor.
No,
we
don't like Power of the Doctor. I've as we moved away from it, I've sort of gotten over the. I've had good Doctor Who in my life again. Power of the Doctor is like good at the end of what is a very sort of slow, quite painful experience.
Well, when we revisit the episode in the future, we can talk about it then. But
relies on bringing back other Doctors to make you feel like there's actually stuff going on, but there isn't.
I just think that what we have in this episode is just, I think this is this is so special. This is so 60 is special, but this is so special, this episode. And that's what I love about it is that you've got these two incredible actors who are eating up the screen. Like, I don't know how else to even put it. Like, I think David, especially, I think Catherine really shone in the last episode. She shines in this one as well, don't get me wrong. But I feel like David really, really, really just goes, I'm back, bitch. I'm back. I'm back, baby. Like,
well, yeah, there's no weird blocking or anything. He's actually just himself.
This is a really wonderfully directed episode. I think it's really good. The sets are, I mean, the built sets.
The physical
really
sets are really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, the visual effects, let's just get out of the way. Visual effects, it doesn't take me out of it at all.
I don't think this, now that I've seen them three times.
Yeah.
Just looks fine. Like, it all looks fine. I just think, coming off the Star Beast, which didn't have much in the way of, like, expansive VFX shots.
Yeah.
And obviously we had a lot of prac and like CGI blending that looks really good. To then go hard in on like this entire environment is green screen was very odd.
But honestly, like as much as like the corridor, which I will elaborate on later maybe, didn't do it for me fully, I don't care. Like it's not one of those episodes where it's like it's so bad that also you have to comment on that and that's also taking you out of it. No, it's not affecting me at all, really. The only thing that maybe also slightly affected me was when they were big and like one of the eyes was really crooked, but now that I've watched it again, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, again, on purpose though, right? Their faces
are weird
on
exactly.
purpose, so
I think initially it was the shock of that's a massive David Tennant and Catherine Tate crawling down a corridor
looking like Miss Evangelista.
Yeah No, literally looking like Miss
Evangelista. Yeah.
Stop. Literally. Yeah. I just think, when I was watching this, I did not know what to expect the first time I watched this. I was literally like, hold on. And I was kind of like, wry smile, like, oh, we're going here. Okay. Because, again, when you were saying, like, everyone hold your horses, it's not midnight. Because it's not midnight. It's totally different to midnight. It's literally so different to midnight. It has the vibes of midnight. I get it. It's got that mysterious entity of, like, what's going on. But the difference is that you actually see what's going on in this. You understand. It's explained. In midnight, we still don't fucking know what's going on. Like, do you know what I mean? And that's the beauty of that episode, I guess. But what I love is that, like, the eeriness of it is what just is so perfect for me. Like, when they were on the ship at first, and obviously, it's a base under siege where the TARDIS isn't there. The TARDIS isn't there. They're walking down corridors. It's no screwdriver, no TARDIS. There's a really long corridor. You can't even see to the end of it. The only thing you can see is this tiny little dot, and it's making a noise. And you're like, what the hell? And there's like, the score is so understated. And you get lovely Jimbo. Jimbo, my boy. Not even my boy. Just Jimbo. Just a robot, you know. But I just feel like I want to call him my boy. Tiny little thing. And it's... Love the design of Jimbo. I want a figure of Jimbo. Expeditiously. I need a tiny little one on my desk. And the interaction with that. And yeah, and then you've got, you know, the doors opening to other rooms. It just completely goes, there's a turn, but it's not annoying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, blimey. Yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry. I just, there's so much to love about this and so much to discover, you know?
We love discovery.
Love.
On Jimbo for a sec, I'll kind of want to talk about it. I feel like I need to kind of mention it here now. Yes, we all know about Fenslaw. Yes, it's funny. This is going to be a Fenslaw-free episode. Because, yes, of course, straight away, the nation was going, Fenslaw.
Law.
Fenslaw. We know. I know everybody thought of us. We appreciate it. It's very, very kind. But Fenslaw's out, baby. It's not even going to be my tenunciation. Because why would I pick the obvious one? It's so many good moments in this. And like I say, the chemistry is completely on top. And I feel like this episode only works when the leads have good chemistry and sort of an established relationship.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Which I know they do from series 4, but like 4, series 4. but like, yeah, just like just the opening just sort of establishes why it's important and nice that they're friends. I mean, you know, the Doctor calls the Doctor gay, and not in like a Rose Tyler way, but just heavily implies that he's fucking gay.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the sort of, I don't know, their little argument out of stress when they realise that they're trapped. It's so lovely. It's so human, more human than anything in like the last episode. The way that David, I don't mean this in like a weird way, genuinely, I don't, because like I don't mean it, I'm not trying to be like, you know, haha, funny.
Yeah.
But like if someone, to reassure me, like grabbed and kissed my hands and held them, like Tennant does to Catherine, I trust them.
Yeah. And
trust us to the edge of the universe. It's incredible. It's such a good moment.
I love that moment because I think it's really, really intimate in a very unique way that I mean, look, there was a bit of discussion about this moment as well, actually, from a lot of different people. A lot of people felt it was very out of character for the Doctor to do that. And I disagree massively. Like, 11 was kissing people all over the fucking gaff. Do you know what I mean? And I don't just mean on the lips. I mean, like, you know, he was always giving Amy a kiss on the forehead. That was like a thing he always, you know, he always did. You know, Clara as well. And like, it's so not out of character. I just think that was so in character. And was like, Donna's my best friend. She is literally terrified. I want to... A lot of people were like, oh, that's something you do with your partner, like romantically. And I'm like,
nah.
What's going on? What's wrong with you people?
There is not enough representation of platonic love on screen.
There isn't. There really isn't. And that's why we love Dr. Donna, right? That's why we love him so
absolutely
much.
Absolutely. But like, even Nine, you know, I know that it's part of a ploy, but yeah, he kisses Rose on the forehead.
Yeah.
To thank her for coming up with a plan.
Yeah.
Come on. What are we doing?
Come on, people. What are we doing?
We're looking for reasons to criticize something.
Yeah.
Which, not to say you have to love it, you don't have to love it, but some people will just look for anything to get annoyed about.
Agreed, yeah.
And it's very uncomfortable.
Boring!
I will say as well that... So I actually don't know how I feel about all of the specials overall. Like, a lot of people have this sort of definitive ranking, which I guess we'll do. I don't know. I find it very hard because I go back and forth between going like, oh, maybe I prefer the vibes of The Giggle and I do really love Church and Ruby Road. But yeah, like, yeah, also I feel like if you forced me to be like, what's your favourite scene for any of these specials? It would like probably be the scene when they first entered the cockpit.
Yeah.
I just can't explain adequately enough, which I know is kind of bad for the show. Just kind of what I'm meant to do. But I don't know if I can explain how deeply the sort of... And it's not just because, yeah, I'm going like, oh, yeah, yeah, every frame of painting, one perfect shot.
Yeah, yeah,
of,
yeah.
Like, him, like David, standing, looking out at the sort of emptiness, oh, and, like, so the good drone taking off. You know, not only is it nicely framed, it is nicely framed, but, like... It fills me with a terror that I always sort of didn't know that I had.
Yeah.
And it's just really horrible, like, unbridled cosmic fear.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it's really unexplainable. And it's something that the show maybe should do more of, because you've got aliens, and aliens can be anything, right?
Yeah,
I guess,
yeah,
sort of tap into, but not really, because the man's a horrible piece of shit. But, like, you know, that kind of H.P. Lovecraft sort of, you know, like, oh man, this thing's so scary. You go, how scary is it? You go, dude, it's so scary. I can't even, like, describe it. It's,
yeah,
that scary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, plug for Big Finish. Not that I normally plug them because they're expensive and annoying. But plug for Big Finish. Listen to the Sixth Doctor audio adventure where he meets H.P. Lovecraft, because at the end he tells H.P. Lovecraft that he's a horrible, terrible, racist man. So,
iconic.
Good stuff.
Slay.
Yeah. Literally stays behind at the end of the adventure to be like, by the way, HP, fuck you, buddy, and your, yeah, fucking racist views. It's cool as shit. Yeah.
I love that. We love calling out racists.
It's like, hey, I know we had to save you in this adventure, but I wish I hadn't. You're a fucking Nazi. It's great. Brilliant. Love it.
That's
listen
brilliant.
To it.
Yeah. I actually want to say, you know, really great segue, because I was going to bring up the fact that when they're in the cockpit and they're looking out, and we've, you know, you mentioned it before, that beautiful wide of them looking out the window, and it just kind of pulls out into this expansive nothingness with the ship. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. I actually thought for a split second, they're underwater. I was like, they're underwater. When they're not even in space. They are underwater. We are being duped. Love.
Which, honestly,
that
would have been a cool reveal as well.
That would have been, I think they should have done it underwater, but I did think that, because it was so dark and it's like, we can't see what's going on. And for a split second, I was like, I saw a bubble. I think I saw a bubble. I didn't.
Yeah. So it's like, how do you portray the lack of light, you know, on
yeah,
screen, I guess. Yeah.
Like, you're in that cockpit and then they go into the other little room, which is where all the shenanigans start. You get, yeah, sensory licky doctor back, which we love him.
I love that. That moment was like twofold for me, of going like, oh, look, he's eating the thing like he always does, but then also pretending to die is, yeah, very,
and
tight.
He goes, no,
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 no, no. But the, no. But yeah, even the music builds up in that. Yeah,
it's so good. And that's why, again, the score is so understated in this. Like, it's barely there, and it's there when it needs to be.
And you know where it fucking isn't? On Spotify. Get around to it. I want to listen to it.
The vinyl, the minute it's out, babe, I'm buying it.
I need it.
I need
it's not the vinyl, but I need to listen to, because, yeah, there's some really fun. The Toymakers theme is, like,
oh,
insanely
so
good.
So ridiculously good. Save it. save it. Another thing with David and Catherine that I loved was when they were playing the Not Things, which again, I love that name for these creatures. I think that's really, really good, really, really good and really cool. Is when they've turned into the Not Things, and you can tell that there's something going on, but it's the way that they're, especially at the start when they first appear, it's very, very sinister. Like, you know, we get hungry, yeah. Don't we?
I think this episode does something very unusual for Doctor Who, and I think it was really exciting and really cool that they did it. And something that you might be able to elaborate on, you know, because you'll have words that I don't have. but it uses the power of editing to plant the seed in the audience's head that something is wrong, right?
Yes.
Like every time I've watched it with somebody, they've been like they don't necessarily know why a cut feels awkward or feels strange, but it's putting them off.
Yes.
And it's making them go, what? Because it seems like bad editing between two different dialogue scenes. Like they're trying to intercut, and obviously they're not. It's because there is four people now on board. And I think that that's really clever, and it feels like quite a bold choice for Doctor Who to do, which is scaring you through editing.
It's really good.
Know, like, real horror movies would use that as like a technique. I think it's really clever, because like I say, I've watched it 3 times now. Twice it was with another person, and each time, as soon as that like first cut happens, they're like,
"Yeah."
They're like, "What? What's
yeah,
going on?"
Literally.
Or they don't notice the first one, but the second one happens, and they're like, "Oh wait, so we've not jumped forward in time. This is happening at the same time. That's what the cut's implying, but it can't be because there's two of them having this conversation."
Yeah, it's so I remember good. When that happened. I remember because when it cut to the from Donna and the Not Thing to the Doctor and the Not Thing the first time, I was like, like, yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. It was brilliant. It was so good. Yeah. And
David and Catherine's performances also really lend to it as well. Like, David coming in, he just kind of slides down that rack and then sits there. Oh. And he just has that, whimsical look on his face. And obviously, it's the thing learning. But he has that look on his face of just kind of whimsy, you know.
Yeah.
And the dialogue is really well thought out as well when he sort of just mentions Wilf. And he's like, oh,
so good.
Because they mentioned it in the last episode, so it all doesn't feel out of place. It's cool. It's really cool.
It's really, really cool. And I think also what I really like about their performances as the Not Thing specifically is the perfect mix of campiness and sheer just eeriness.
Yeah, some of it's genuinely scary, creepy thoughts. Some of it's really stupid.
Think.
Yeah. there's think. But there's also a moment in that scene where I think it might be when they put the salt down. Where David just repeats a word back, but in like a high pitched voice, and I can't decide if it's really bad or really creepy. And I can't remember what the word is now. I wish I'd written it down.
I'm not sure. I know that
I think he says hello or something like that. I can't remember, but he repeats a word back and it's just like, I can't decide. I'm going to go watch Wobbly Yonder in the background and figure it out.
I do really like the fact that, you know, the performance is so layered from both of them because you've got them playing themselves, but then you've also got all of the complications and nuance within the characters in the episode and what they're feeling, and you know, but then they're also acting like these Not Things are also really complicated and layered. They're creatures that are learning on the spot. They are trying to copy. It's such a brilliant piece of acting. I don't know, and like, you know, I'm not an actor, but like, you know, they really are on top form. And I actually really liked a really impressive bit that I really liked was when, my favourite was when they were both introduced for the first time, the Not Things, when they first were introduced. But I really like at the end when, you know, that kind of plastic screen comes down when they're trying to like stop them from getting to them, which is very reminiscent of the Star Beast, obviously. The bit that I really liked was when the Not Thing Doctor was kind of just like figuring out, and he was like, so it's because of this, this, and this. And then the Doctor's like, nope, Side eye. And then like just a side thing is like getting the doctor trying not to think is the best.
Was that, I found it. It is when he puts the line of salt down, and not Donna is counting the salt. The doctor and Donna are having a conversation. And the doctor goes, "I just wonder why." And then his not thing just goes, "Why?"
Oh, like, yeah.
It's like, is that good? Is that bad? I can't decide.
It's great.
Because it kind of simultaneously makes me go, "Ugh," but also makes me go, "Ugh." And I love it.
I think that's, I feel like that's the point of them though, isn't it? It's like, you don't know how to feel. And you know, we can't talk about them without mentioning the effects. So I want to ask you, mm-hmm. for the sake of brevity, what is your favorite thing that they did to copy them, like physically? So like whether it be the big versions of them, you know, the arms, the teeth, whatever, like what was your favorite thing that they did to like look creepy when they were trying to copy them?
I mean, I gotta say, there's lots of moments that I enjoy.
Yeah.
Obviously. I did absolutely lose my mind when I was watching it first time at not 14.
Yeah.
Running on all fours.
Yeah, so good.
To try and stop the explosion. That really got me. Good. But I mean, I think truthfully, because we talked about it so much on our live.
Yeah.
So I won't necessarily talk about it too much here. So yeah, go watch the Instagram live if you didn't. But you know, the spider walk is
that's
also
your fave.
I mean, you know, big fans of The Exorcist.
Yes. Yes.
Obviously the director's cut, you know, but whatever. But
yeah.
How
by
can
the
you
by.
Not? How could, you know, just got to let it be known. Because someone will go, oh, you know, Ellie thinks they know everything about horror movies, but they don't know that Spider Walk was actually just for the director's cut, not for the theatrical cut. I know.
They do know, actually.
I do
Thank
know.
You.
I know things. Yeah, because I love the dual effect of it being genuinely weird and creepy, but also that effect of David with his head between his legs is terrible, but great.
It's just so much fun.
It looks like, and this is a reference for maybe three people?
Yeah.
I reckon. About three mm-hmm. of you. It looks like there's a moment from the 70s remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I believe it's Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Don't quote me on this. It's fine. I'll look it up afterwards and we'll
it's
add
fine.
It up whichever if not. I can't be bothered. It's Body Snatchers. I'm like 80% sure. Anyway, there's a scene when, you know, after all the assimilating has happened, they come across a dog, and the dog has the face of an old homeless man that had been seen previously in it. And it just reminds me of that. It's that kind of weird uncanniness. Or also, Four to Doomsday, where the robot lifts up his face, but it's all superimposed. It doesn't look quite good. That's a Doctor Who one. Yeah.
Uncanny Valley, the episode. Forget Wild Blue Yonder. It's Wild Blue Uncanny Valley, this episode. It's a bad joke, first of all, on my end, but also it is Uncanny Valley. My favourite weird...
If you Google the words Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the first thing that comes up is dog, so...
Do your research, everybody. My favourite weird thing, though, that they do is the arms. I remember when that first was shown, it sent me. It absolutely sent me. I need a figure of 14 with long arms. I just do.
I do love the long arms, I gotta say.
Very good. And also on Unleashed, again, if you're unaware of what Unleashed is, the new version of Doctor Who Confidential, which you absolutely should go and watch, especially for this episode. For this episode, it was really, really fun. They were showing all of the physical props that they used for the bits, you know, the weird body things that they were doing. And they actually made the long arms. It was all, you know, a physical effect. And it's really good.
Which I think you can tell.
Yes. Yeah, you definitely can. But just in case anyone was wondering, it's...
No, I'm just saying, I think that the practical is really good on this.
Really, really good. Really, yeah. And the teeth were very funny.
Yeah, because you have that moment where David and Catherine talk about how serious Doctor Who is, and it pans out and they've both got long arms sat in there.
Yeah.
In their chairs. Yeah.
So good. The conclusion of this, I guess, I want to talk about the end of the episode real quick. because our wrap up is also genuinely part of the discussion. So if you're thinking we're wrapping this up quickly, hun, no, we're not. Trust me.
No.
I, again, because I'm what? Naive.
Stupid.
Stupid, yeah. Idiot, fool. I thought Donna was actually going to die. Genuinely, I was like, no, no. I thought that was, I really liked the way that was done. I mean, Catherine running down a corridor, it looked so dumb, but I was in love. I was in love with it. And then, you know, the question about Mrs. Bean. Mrs. Bean!
Which, by the way, I could do, if I, I guess if I did have one criticism of this episode.
Oh, go on then.
It would be, how I can't believe for a second that the Doctor didn't know that Donna's answer, yeah, why is Mrs. Bean funny? It's the name of a vegetable given to a woman. How would you? That's the most Donna answer to a question.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Ever. I would have gone, oh, yeah, that's Donna.
There she
because
is. Yeah.
Just panicked on the spot and gone, oh, it's the name of a vegetable given to a woman. Like, yeah, I was like, ah. Yeah. Oh. When it first time it happened, I was like, that's Madonna right there.
Yeah.
Not Madonna. That's different. but then, yeah, no, he picks the other one. I was like,
stupid.
I don't buy that. I don't buy that.
Stupid.
It's probably some line in the episode that I'm missing there to context that, but I don't fucking care.
Yeah. No, it was a bit odd, but I like that. I do actually really love the visual of like when Donna's left behind and her kind of reaction to the explosion is actually really, really powerful and moving, I think.
All the explosion stuff looks really good. The effects are really good. There's that fucking shot of the 14th Doctor's knot thing just getting obliterated.
Yeah.
Like you actually see the outline of it disintegrating.
Yeah, like after he was teen wolfing, like, you know, running on, you know, all fours. So funny.
And you get that amazing shot of the captain getting blasted.
I mean, I will say that whole storyline, just there's not a lot to say about it, but it's really great. It's just, you know, she was the captain of the ship and, you know, she sacrificed herself so they couldn't complete. Like, it's so good. And also, again, like, yeah, that visual is just perfect.
Tell me why that always makes you really sad. I don't know why.
It's really emotional, actually.
It is. Weirdly emotional.
It's emosh. It's actually very emosh. And the fact she was on her own as well.
Yeah. And a very satisfying resolution to the, what's the thing making all that noise?
Yeah.
Just a safety harness banging along the...
Oh, it's... Imagine writing a good episode. Oh, wait.
But that's the thing. Russell does horror in that way where, you know, like Russell series and, you know, things like that do horror in that way where it's not like, what's the thing banging against the spaceship? Oh, it's actually them banging a drum. Or like, yeah, oh, it's because there's something in the pipes. It's like, no, we'll give you an answer that's not necessarily scary.
Yeah.
But it does add an extra layer to the horror, makes the villain scarier, and is just upsetting.
Yeah, it's just upsetting and really just makes your skin crawl a little bit in the best way.
Good horror is upsetting.
Yeah, yes, agreed. Another thing that I loved as well was when he finally, you know, the correct Donna comes back. Well, actually, first of all, you know when the TARDIS first appears to, you know, the TARDIS comes back again and it's playing Wild Blue Yonder. Oh, chills, first of all.
Yeah, it looks amazing as well.
It looks so good. So, so good. I love also when 14 is in the... Also, if I've been saying 10 instead of 14, get over it. I'm just stupid.
I do it all the time. I do it in my notes.
I can't help it. But when 14 is in the TARDIS and like using his foot to kind of push the TARDIS along, hilarious. But when he saves the correct Donna and they just have that big hug and then they fall to the floor from the impact of the explosion and they're just sitting there hugging... J'adore, as Elliot likes to say. It's so good.
It is lovely. It's a lovely little moment.
It's really lovely. And, oh, man. Do we even talk about what happens next? Because I feel like it's going to come up, no? In our wrap-up, unless it isn't for you.
It's up to you, my love. Because it's not my standout scene.
Okay, fine. Let's talk about it now. So, you get all this happening, and Donna's like, come on, take me back home, whatever. And we all knew this scene was going to happen at some point. But my God, it still took me by the throat, and just, I was gagged.
Yeah, I just kind of assumed it was like happening at like the end of the giggle or something. Like a sort of little wrap up. Maybe he'll show up and we get to sort of show him into the TARDIS or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, it comes out of fucking nowhere.
And I was crying.
See, I don't think, first time, I don't know if I did. I just remember being like, oh, that's nice. And then second time I watched it, when I watched it with my friend, the second time. Yeah, I think because I was watching it with a friend who wasn't necessarily like overly emotional.
Yeah.
You know, I was just kind of, we're still sort of in the moment and kind of chatting and stuff like that. So I didn't really, you know, whatever. And the second time I watched it with a friend who, as soon as like Bird of Criven said a word,
yeah,
she just like burst into tears. And that really made me really upset. Like, yeah. I was like, oh no, I can't handle this.
Please don't cry. Don't cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful scene. I mean, it makes it very sad because you can tell that Wilf. So we're talking about Wilf coming back. Sorry, do we even need to say what it was?
They know.
You lot know. It's sad because you know that Wilf is going to be more involved in the giggle, like in the plot and part of the story. You can tell because of the way it's kind of set up. But I'm so glad that this was shot. I'm so glad that they were able to do this. And also the behind the scenes footage. I was surprised that they had any, to be honest. That was really fun on Unleashed to kind of watch. Yeah,
there's like lots of people's sad takeaway from it was, like you say, that they didn't get to have more of it, which I just think is really, not that I'm saying that's what you're saying, but there was a lot of people who were like, you know, oh, I just wish we didn't get more. And it's like, yeah, but like what you did get was, you know, beautifully written and perfectly acted. It might be the best performance that Bernard Cribbins has ever given, and the fact he's doing that in his like early 90s is astounding.
When I was watching this episode to review for the pod, I got my dad over because he wasn't watching it, he didn't care, but he cares about Wilf as a character a lot. Yeah. And I was like, Dad, come over here. And he was like, well, I don't want to watch the episode. And I was like, okay, well, first of all, rude. Second of all, come over here and just watch this last 4 minutes. And he sat there, and when he came on screen, he was like, oh. I feel like that's just the sound. It's just, oh. There you are.
But it's just a magical performance as well. Like, he's always been, like, always magical. Yeah. Bernard Cribbins is just magical. But,
yeah,
I don't know. There's something about it that just feels extra, extra, extra beautiful.
Agreed.
And you get a cool fucking cliffhanger.
Yes. The plane. I was like, eh? What?
With the, and I can talk about it now because it appears at the end of this episode, with some of the best music that Murray Gold's ever composed, which is the theme for The Toymaker.
Gorgeous, stunning, absolutely perfection. Maybe the best theme that Murray's ever composed. I don't know.
I reckon so.
So, we are now at the wrap-up where we talk about our standout moment. What didn't work? Most Doctor Who moment? Best pronunciation? And favourite quote? Elliot, as always, I'm going to hit it right back at you. Standout moment, babe. Give it to us.
Well, I shan't dwell on it too long because we did mention it.
Okay.
But it's the scene in the cockpit.
Yes.
Just because I like weird cosmic horror that makes me think about how meaningless my life is.
So, valid.
Good stuff. Sent the chills right up me. What about you?
Love it. I have three. I'm going to go through them quite quick. sorry, I couldn't help it. I sat there.
No, but I just thought you casually, you went, oh, I've got three. I was like,
yeah. I can't help it. Like, when I first do mine, it's when I'm watching an episode, I write them down, then I go back and just neaten it. And I was like, I refuse. Mm-hmm. I refuse to shorten this.
Fair.
So I'm going to go through it quick. So first one is Wilf at the end, because...
Yeah.
Beautiful. Second of all was Donna Noble as a puddle on the floor.
I do like that. I especially like that because the like attention to detail that goes into things like her jumper.
Bottom
of it having that kind of dripping paint effect where she's bleeding into the floor is very good. And her Doc Martens being like,
yeah, so good. And then her just going, you're such a prize. What are you? Like, what? Like, so creepy.
What's he doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing? Sorry, Tallulah came out then. Sorry. She comes out now. Bring her back, you cowards. Anyway, and then my third favourite thing, which we didn't talk about and I really loved, was 14's reaction to talking about the Flux with Nothing Donna.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we didn't get to that. And like you said, maybe that should have been a standout moment.
You can add it to yours. Add it to yours.
I mean, I will add it to mine because I don't hate the Flux. I don't hate Flux as a storyline. You know, I'm not going to be one of these people. You know, I don't hate the Timeless Child.
Yeah.
But all of the repercussions of those are handled so much better here.
Yeah. And David's, and I don't,
yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't just think it's like the shouty acting, you know, because he does do shouty acting very well.
Yeah, yeah.
But just
yeah.
Like the dialogue is just really well thought out.
Mm-hmm. And performance and everything, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I don't hate the Timeless Child, I don't love the Timeless Child, I have no real strong opinion on the Timeless Child, it's just a thing, whatever that happened.
Yeah.
But the fact that I'm able to be bought chills by the moment where he's like, yeah, oh no, we're from Gallifrey, all four of us know that, and then Dodder's just like, yeah, but you're not.
Yeah.
Because I kind of, you know, again, I sort of forget about the Timeless Child as a thing, because it's never at the forefront of my mind, because I don't spend my day sitting on Twitter complaining about it.
Yeah, so.
And when she said that, I was like, every time I go, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It gets me.
It's so good. Yeah, I just loved all of that. But on the contrary, what didn't work for you in this episode?
Yeah, like I said, I don't actually really think I had anything, because the effects don't even not work for me, because they're all part of fun. I will say now, maybe thinking about it, yeah, maybe the moment... So I just think... It's the name of a vegetable given to a woman. It's so terrible. The logic for that at the end doesn't stack up. Like I say, probably missing a line of dialogue, but I don't care. So if I have to pick one, that's it. But I mean, really, there's not much to pick out, is there?
Mine is, again, I've mentioned it already, and it really isn't even that much a thing, but it's like, you know, got to put something in there. I mean, sometimes we don't, but like, why not?
Yeah.
I said the visual effects in the corridor are very impressive, but the thing that does it, that makes it not quite there for me, is that David and Catherine don't quite blend in to it. That's what I don't think works as well, but again, it didn't bother me that much.
I feel like VFX like that are always done best when you're not like when everything is bright and evenly lit. It can be kind of you know, like, yeah, it's like how you notice in Marvel movies and stuff is like when they've got fire and darkness happening in the background, but they're lit like they're standing in a studio.
Yeah, it's do you know what I like to call it? The leaving the big light on effect. Don't do that. Don't leave the big light on. Nitpick. But most Doctor-y moment in this episode, and by golly, were there a few? There were a few.
There were a few, and I actually forgot to write one down. I just forgot to include it on my wrap up.
Yeah.
So we go for gut instinct, and I boiled it down to two.
Mm-hmm.
I would say using the villain's like own flaws against them as a weapon in the scene with the putting down of the salt.
Yes. Yes.
Is probably there's another one that if you don't pick, I'm going to be like, but it's also that. But just that moment of logic is very cool. He's very, very sure of himself, very cocky, and it's a great little moment. And I love that it basically seems like he's fucking opened the door for every bad thing that now happens, even into Shooty's run, by just placing some salt at the end of the universe.
It's opened up a whole can of worms, literally. And again, that's what Russell's so good at, planting a seed and we watch it grow. It's really great.
Yeah, so probably that.
Nice.
What about you?
I have one, and that is just after the Flux scene, when 14 is having a little traumatic / emotional Momo, you know, banging on the wall, whatever. And then he just goes, right, and then just carries on.
Yeah.
It's so Doctor, isn't it? Which obviously comes back round in the next episode. But it's also so human of the Doctor, again. It's just, you know, going to carry on. Going to go into a room and go, fuck! All right, carry on. We've all done it.
We all do it.
We all do. But yeah, that was very Doctor Who for me. But best pronunciation, babe. And I know you didn't put the obvious one. I did.
So you should go first.
I'll go first. We'll do tit for tat, shall we?
Yeah, because, I mean, just because, you know, if you've got the obvious one. So
I've got the obvious
one. It's more fun if I go second.
So if you're not aware, obviously, this is a very new segment. So best pronunciation is best David Tennant pronunciation. You know, the classic way that David says certain things. Iconic, amazing. My first one is Fenslaw. Fenslaw.
Oh, have you got others?
I do have others, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Well, what you got? What have you got?
One, just one.
Okay, you say your one and then I'll say my two.
Very simple, easy. And I'm probably not even going to be able to do it very well because I still sound awful. not awful, but, you know, nasally. And I'm nasally, I'm not normally this nasally.
Yeah.
It's the same when he's describing a hostile action detection system to Donna.
Yeah.
And it's the, you know, you never land. Once about 3 years in orbit, I thought, you know, turn off the hats. But just the mumbling of, you know, turn off the hats. It's like, that's the most David thing I've ever heard in my entire life. It's been 3 years in orbit, you know, turn off the hats. And then, but.
Yeah.
But.
Can I actually add another one really quick? Really, really quick. Like, so quick.
Yeah.
Hads.
Hads. Yeah, just hads in general. Just
hads. Yeah. Hads. Oh, like the way he said that at the start when he's like, it's called the hads. And it's like, ah, yes. And then my other two is Mrs. Bean. When he says Mrs. Bean, when he repeats it from Donna. But then one that I think is very underrated. I actually included it in one of our little, the thing I edited for our socials, which was that little compilation of the Doctor and Donna being hilarious, is when Donna's like, you know, oh, we've got to get back because, you know, my family's waiting. And then the Doctor's like, come on, let's go and explore. And then she's like, all right. And he goes, yeah.
I thought of a last minute contender.
Yeah, go on, go on, go on.
It's because it could go in favourite quotes, but I do like the way David Tennant says it. Is when Donna's like, yeah, Donna's like, just don't leave me on my own. He's like, yeah, Donna, we are the only two people on the ship. And she's like, yeah, but what's that after that loud bang? He just goes, a noise?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, I know, just the way he says a noise is very, very satisfying.
Brilliant. Just that's on top form. Now, last bit. The Bible of quotes that we're probably going to be repeating. Babe, Elliot, babe. Favourite quotes from Wild Beyonder?
So surprisingly, I only have two.
Oh, same. Sorry, I thought you'd have like six. Sorry.
I mean, there are so many. It could have been like every other line.
Yeah, yeah, literally. Yeah. The whole script.
The whole script is my favourite quote, but I only have two.
Go on.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go for my least favorite one first, just because the second one's kind of actually like a serious one, whereas this one's kind of a normal one. 14, not Donna, trying to prove to each other that 14 is really 14, and not Donna is actually Donna. And you just get that great moment where she's like, oh, well, that proves you're not the Doctor. You know everything. Goes, yeah, except for the million times I don't, and I tell you. I love that because, like, yeah,
it's great.
Dude doesn't know shit.
Doesn't know shit.
And again, strong contender for pronunciation because I just like, he's like, yeah, except for the million times I don't.
Yeah. But again, the whole script. Yeah.
The whole script. Yeah.
What's your second one?
My second one, I didn't really know how to do it justice, but I will just read it verbatim. My favouritest is, do you think they have any food in this place? My arms are too long. I skipped dinner because of you and the meep. Oh, we get hungry.
Yeah.
Weird. Don't like it. I like that she completely glosses over my arms are too long. She says, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
She's like, oh, he's chatting shit again. Of course. Yeah. Alons, as idiots say, E.
E.
Yeah. Literally, she just thinks he's an absolute idiot. Actually, probably could have put that in one of my favourite lines, but I felt that was too obvious. Too obvious! One I did put, so I've got two, one that I did put is a snap, because I also put, we get hungry, don't we?
I did the whole thing though, so I'm better.
Yeah, no, yours is better. But no, I just like that line, it's the don't we makes the line, I feel. I like it. And then my second favourite is just, oh, yeah, you know, of course you've written this down, but I love it. It's Wilfred Mott. Oh, now I feel better. Now nothing is wrong. Nothing in the whole wide world. Hello, me old soldier. Oh, my God. Somebody sedate me, please.
And again, great pronunciation for the hello, my old soldier.
Yeah. It's all there, isn't it? It's all there. This episode's all there. It's all just doing the damn thing. So I ask you, Elliot, you there. You.
Me. Hello. Hello. What?
Out of five. And again, don't forget, stay tuned for the giggle because we're going to rank all of the specials, all three of them.
Yeah.
What are you giving Wobbly Yonder out of five?
We are giving... I mean that in the royal we. I don't know about you.
No, you and your not thing in the corner there. In the corner.
Me and my not thing. Yeah. That's my not thing in the corner.
Oh, not again.
Sorry. I'm giving it a solid 4 out of 5.
Nice one.
You know, when you say you can't find anything wrong with it, but it's just not quite top tier.
Yeah.
But it's fucking good. So. She's a 4.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I feel the same in terms of when you said, like, you know, we're saying there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not quite there. So I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. It's almost perfect for me. I'm not going to lie. This episode is literally almost perfect. I'm not going to lie.
That's fair enough.
She's a stunner. She's an absolute stunner, and I love her so much. I would die for this episode. I really would. It was such a lovely surprise. It didn't do what you expected it to do. It went somewhere different. It had all of the things. It did the damn thing, and I love it for that. Fed and watered.
Well, that brings the curtains down. You see this thing, you get to see all the visual tricks that I do just so I can have a laugh now actually on camera. That brings the curtains down. Another wonderful episode of the Come Along Pond podcast. I hope you had fun. We sure did. And so did our not things. If you like what you heard and you want to support the show, you can do so over on Patreon, patreon.com/comealongpondpodcast. Oh my God, we got tears. So many tears. I want to tell you about them. £15, you get to watch our faces laugh at each other and look awkward, and I get to wipe my nose and cough because I have no camera discipline. For 10 of your English pounds, other currencies are accepted. You can listen to this ad-free, and you get a shout-out on the show, like Lucy, like Jason. That also happens on the £15 tier, should have made that clear. For 5 of your English pounds, you also get a shout-out on the show, like Jason, like Lucy. I've shouted them out twice. And for £3, general support. All those people are listed in the show notes. If a reoccurring monthly subscription's not your thing, you can support us over on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi/comealongpondpodcast. Although nobody has, so you probably won't. But you can. It's an option. It's in the show notes. You can buy us the price of a cup of coffee, one for me, one for Damlet, or one for both of us, if you're feeling generous. However, you don't want to part with any of your money. I understand. We're not worth it. And, you know, Cozzy lives. But... you can email comealongpondpod@gmail.com if you want to be cool, like John, like Jake, like Gray. We will read your email out on the show at some point in the future, as of yet unspecified. But we will, I promise. I appreciate every single person who gets in touch, and I hope that you don't take it too personally when I make silly remarks about your email, because the fact that you've even taken time out of your day to do that means that I love you dearly, as one would a friend or a very nice horse. Anyway... you can follow us over on TikTok, tiktok.com/comealongpondpodcast. My personal TikTok's been deactivated, but our one is still up because it's hell. But we post funny little moments, cute little momos, highlights and lowlights from all of the episodes that we do. If you want to see us being silly and goofy, if you heard it, you think, God, I really want to see the moment that was funniest, it'll probably be a TikTok. But you know what I like better than a TikTok? It's a Mark Zuckerberg-approved TikTok over in the metaverse. That's right, I'm talking about Reels. But you know what else we got other than Reels? We've got stories, we've got polls, we've got Instagram Lives. That's right, I'm talking about Instagram. Instagram.com/comealongpondpodcast. You can't miss us, we've got the same artwork everywhere. If you want updates about the show, you want to shoot us abusive DMs about how we didn't like the Star Beast, or you just want to hang around and see what we're doing, that is your one-stop shop. Anytime we need to not release an episode, anytime we're releasing more than one episode, yeah, anytime we make changes to the show, that is where you'll find it. That's where you'll find out the reels that are coming out, all sorts, collaborations, anything we're doing. It's announced on the Instagram. So if you don't follow us over there, you are missing out. Almost 7,000 of you. Ridiculous.
At time of recording.
At time of recording, almost 7,000 of you. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. So do you want to be the 7,000th? I will get you a bar of chocolate, maybe. I'll hand deliver it to your house. I'll take the coach and come and give it to you. Please don't live further away than my local area. If someone local to me could be the 7,000th,
that would be great.
That would be great. I'll bring you a lion bar.
I love lion bars, actually. White chocolate lion bar is actually slept on.
Yeah, you don't see enough of those, but that's, you know, the metropolitan elite living in their ivory towers, having access to white chocolate. Anyway, I appreciate you sitting through all of that, including the admin, if you did, which statistically you probably didn't, but those of you who did, thank you, and very thank you for listening to the show. It means the world to us.
It does, it really does, thank you.
Yeah, it really does. Damler, it's been lovely being joined by you this evening.
And it's been an absolute joy and pleasure to be joined by you, my dear.
And incidentally, thank you to all of you at home as well. I'll never stop doing that. Never stop doing that.
Never. And we give you air from our lungs.
Well, you probably don't want mine, but...
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.